You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore.
I'd like to help you touch it, it's a really weird word, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's not good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the wall, and I'd like to give the information, ask me for the word, blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number three. This is Dave Hodges. I am the host of the Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thanks again to my really good friend, Dr. Ted Brewer. Thanks again to my favorite congressman, my congressman, Dr. Paul Gosar, who's a dentist by trade, by the way. Paul Martin, great job as always. And I got an email real quick on a mention this from Melissa, and she said, Dave, I'm with you. I totally agree. She says, I've never heard you monologue like this before. Okay, I got a little carried away. But she said, what can I do? Pray. If you have nothing else you can think of doing, I'm not asking anyone to pick up a gun and be violent. That's not what we're about here. Pray. Pray for God's best outcome for your life, for your family, your community, and your country. And read Philippians, okay? Go through Paul's some verses, chapter a day. Get through it in 4 days. It's easy. Easy reading. Great stuff there. Okay, this interview with Mike Adams is a little bit on the long side. Just want to mention that it's brought to you by PrepareWithDave.com. Storable food was $2.50, now $99. Go to PrepareWithDave.com. Mike Adams' interview with myself is very, very revealing. Todd, let's go ahead and let it go. Hi, everybody. This is Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And on the newsmaker line with me is Mike Adams from Natural News. And Mike has had his YouTube channel restored, and it's a temporary victory for Mike because he's opening up Real.Video July 4th. And anybody who wants a channel needs to go up there and needs to sign up and pre-position because we need to get off their platform so we can exercise our First Amendment. Mike, I'm glad you've had the victory. It was well-deserved. Welcome to the show, and I know we got a heck of a lot to talk about.
Thank you, Dave. It's great to join you. This is an urgent time. I really can't think of a more urgent time to talk about what's happening, what's going down with the deep state. But just on YouTube real quick, yes, after about a month of being banned, they did restore my channel. I don't have time to go into all the details of how it got restored. Many people helped us, and it wasn't a normal process. If I didn't have the right people and friends in the right places, it never would have been restored. So we're building an alternative called Real.Video. It's an alternative to YouTube censorship, and it's a pro-patriot, pro-America, pro-First Amendment, pro-Second Amendment video community, just like YouTube, but not run by libtards.
Well, very well put, and it's just well deserved, Mike, because your voice needs to stay out there until we all can migrate to a better place. Well, what's going on? I mean, we were sharing a couple of anecdotes before we went on the air here, Mike, and by gosh, there's just so much going on. I shared with you about UN peacekeepers and shutting down mountain roads in Colorado now, and just what's going on in your world? What are you seeing?
I'm seeing that, the deep state has both black hat operators and white hat operators. And black hat are, of course, those allied with Hillary Clinton and James Comey and so on. And the white hat operators are sort of the pro-America, pro-patriot people who are embedded inside the deep state. At least that's how I describe them, black hat and white hat. And they're trying to defend the Constitution and President Trump's presidency. Now, they still want their power, of course. There can be white hat people inside the NSA. They are always pro-surveillance. They want to surveil everybody, but they don't want to lose America as a republic in the process. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So there's a war now. This war is escalating inside the deep state, and the white hat operators are finally starting to turn the tables. They're starting to get the upper hand in some areas. We're seeing now James Comey being with his memos leaking. We're seeing that he, you know, proof that he committed crimes, you know, leaking classified documents is a crime. We're seeing Andrew McCabe under scrutiny. We're seeing criminal referrals now for Loretta Lynch, Hillary Clinton, and others. The tide is starting to turn. And what that means, though, Dave, is that the left will become more desperate than they've ever been, you know, the black hat deep state, because they know that if they lose this, many of them go to prison. Some of them will flee the country. You know, some of them will become international fugitives from justice. If they lose, they lose big. Right now, all the chips are on the table. Everyone is playing for keeps. And what it means is that the left at this point, the corrupt, you know, Hillary Clinton left or Barack Obama left, they are willing to do anything, including a nuclear false flag or a biological weapon false flag, anything, anything, no matter how many people they have to kill. If they have a way to stay in power, they will invoke it. So that's what we're looking at for the rest of this year.
I could not agree with you more. In fact, let me tell you how desperate they are on the media end of it. You're referencing the letter that was authored by 11 GOP representatives, and they detailed the crimes of some of the individuals you mentioned and more, because they went into Strzok as well as Page and Loretta Lynch, and the information was voluminous because of the linkages they put in, where you could link in to validate their claims of criminality. And here's what's really interesting, Mike. I had a conversation last night when this came out with one of the people who works for my congressman, Congressman Paul Gosar, who's an author. He's one of the 11 that signed the letter. And his people told me this will probably appear nowhere in the mainstream media. Sure enough, come Friday morning, it was nowhere in the mainstream media. So you have right. 11 congressmen who are saying these high-level officials committed these crimes, and it can't get a sniff. Now, the good news is, Mike, we're doing a pre-record on this on Friday evening, but Congressman Gosar is coming on my show the same night that this interview is going to appear to talk about these allegations, and they're distressed. One of the people I talked to from Congressman Gosar's office said, you know, we want to come on your show, but isn't it interesting that we can't even get a sniff on ABC?
You know, this shows you the alternate reality that the left is living in. They of course, are trying to build a bubble in order to ensnare the minds of the masses who only watch the mainstream media and try to show them this false world. The problem with that and why it's going to crumble and collapse is that, in reality, actions have consequences. It's almost like what Obama said. Elections have consequences. Well, the records exist for the criminality of these individuals. And this will be steadily moved through the justice system. Hillary Clinton must be indicted if we have any rule of law remaining whatsoever. And she will be if she doesn't expire first, I would imagine, or maybe commit suicide herself, knowing that this is coming. Who knows? But she must go to jail. Peter Strzok must be indicted. You know, many people, James Comey, for example, Andrew McCabe, and Clapper, former head of the CIA, he seems to be the top puppet master in all of this. Now, he may escape jail time in this, but he won't escape scrutiny. He seems to be, you know, he was Obama's appointee, and he seems to be the puppet master that's running a lot of this. What do you think about Clapper?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I think he was put into his position to coordinate intelligence community cover-ups and dissemination of false flag information and false information, fake news. So absolutely,
yes.
No question.
Well, he was behind the dossier, it now looks like, very clearly. And, of course, CNN conspired with James Comey. This came out in the Comey memos to make sure that CNN mentioned the dossier to make it a news story, even though it was all fake. It was funded by the DNC and the Clinton operation, the Clinton Foundation, and so on. They created these fake narratives out of nothing, the Russia collusion narrative, and they they spun it into this thing, this to get a special counsel investigation, which didn't even name a crime. It simply said, investigate these people and see what you can find. Well, no one in America could survive that scrutiny. Everyone has unwittingly committed some felony at some point, even filling out a form incorrectly, you know? No one could survive that kind of scrutiny. But that's why they made it a target. They said, target these people, even though we don't have any crime yet. That's why Mueller's investigation is so corrupt, and it needs to end.
Show me the man, I'll show you the crime.
That's it.
That's exactly what's going on.
And don't forget, I think Jeff Sessions will be gone soon. I have a feeling Sessions is, of course, covering for the deep state. Sessions is compromised. We've mentioned, you know, you and I have talked about this before. And along with Sessions, as you know, your favorite person, John McCain, he helped set up the dossier. He had his staffers meet with Steele, who is one of the authors of the dossier, one of the key authors, you know, former British spy person. And McCain and Sessions and Comey and Mueller, they're all establishment Republicans. And they're all part of this deep state conspiracy.
I don't even look at the R's and the D's anymore, except, you know, on the letter we're referencing here, all of the signatories from these congressmen asking for Sessions to prosecute these high-level officials, they're all Republicans. That's one thing that you can say. But, you know, Mike, I do, you know, it's hard to, like I said, you can't tell the players without a program. That's really what it comes down to. McCain is as corrupt deep state as they get.
Oh, yeah.
No question. In fact, he's putting his name on a new gun control bill. You know, Republican gun control bill.
Why am I not surprised? This is the thing, though. Everything that people know today, I think, will be challenged this year, you know, before the midterms. There are elements in the government that are, as we've said, white hat deep state operators that I would think at this point are also probably willing to do almost anything to protect the Republic. And then you've got, you know, the black hat people who are willing to do anything to destroy the Republic. Now think about what this means. Either side could be shaping events or engineering events that would achieve their end goals. The media, of course, won't know anything about this. They're told exactly what to say. They're given talking points every day. The public is completely out of the loop. There's only a few analysts, you know, like you and I and others, maybe just a few hundred of us in America, who are actually doing real in-depth look or in-depth journalism on these topics. And what we see is the highest risk for chaos and false flag events and social unrest that we've had since the 1860s, frankly. It has never been this risky right now. I mean, we're at a tipping point where one trigger event could set this country off.
We are one trigger event away. There's no question. I wrote an article that appeared on the Common Sense Show on Friday, April 20th, and I detailed Mexican cartel, and they're tied to the terrorists, as we know, and they use MS-13 as their hitmen. But there's been a record number of Mexican politicians that have been wiped out, killed, assassinated, intimidated into not running. And those same forces are coming into America.
Yeah. Well, I think what's happening in America's deep state is patterned after not just the Mexican cartels, but of course China. Communist China, I think, is an experimental proving ground for much of what is being rolled out in America via Facebook and Google and so on. You know, the surveillance of citizens, the gathering of metadata on everyone and their activities, the secret spying operations, and the demand for absolute obedience to the state. These are things that China has really pioneered, you know, in a horrific way. And Chinese citizens, they believe that China is a fair and free country. I mean, the mind control is so complete in China that the average Chinese citizen thinks that, and I know this because my wife, who's from Taiwan, of course, which is the, you know, the free version of China, Taiwan is kind of like the Texas of Asia, you might say. And my wife went to China for a seminar about a year ago, and everyone there, she was talking to people, it was kind of risky, but asking them about what they thought about their country, and they all thought that they were free and that the Taiwan citizens were being brainwashed by the evil renegade yes. Taiwan government, and that China was gonna bring them back to the motherland one day soon so that everyone could live in peace under communism. And see, this is what they think. The mind control is so complete, and that's the left. That's the same thing in America today. The leftists, Mark Zuckerberg, you know, the globalists, the DNC, they have the same thing. They will turn America into a dystopian, mind control surveillance state run by socialists and communists.
You've nailed it. That is absolutely the way they're going. In fact, you mentioned about the mind control and the surveillance state. I don't know if you've had a chance to see this or not. I just came across this. Bill Gates' new project involving satellites. Have you heard this?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, it's funny. I did a podcast about this technology over a year ago. And so I've already thought through all the implications of it. What they're going to be able to do is do real-time mapping of all vehicle movements. So they'll be able to track your vehicle parked in your driveway and then every location that you drive to, just using visual imagery and mapping your travel patterns. They will create metadata of all the vehicles and all the destinations. And the only way you can avoid that is to drive on cloudy days.
But they said that I came across was that they can do things like catch people doing illegal fishing. I'm not making this up.
Yeah.
That was actually in the release. And you know what this put me in the mind of? The first Hunger Games movie where Katniss and her friend violate the biodiversity fence and go into the wildland to do hunting, and the hovercraft comes over. Oh, instead of a hovercraft now, it'll be a Bill Gates satellite. I think this is tied to Agenda 21.
Oh, no doubt it is. It's gonna be another Big Brother surveillance system. But think about this. Anytime you look up, they can also use facial recognition and, sure. and track your identity. So you won't be able to live in a world where you can even look up without being surveilled. Think about that. And especially in places like where, you know, your part of the country, if you're in Arizona or Utah or places like that, or most of California, you don't have very many cloudy days. So imagine living in a world where you can never look up except at night without being surveilled by a police state government that has global control. That's what's coming, and Bill Gates, of course, is behind it. Why not? You know, I mean, he supports depopulation, GMO mosquitoes, infertility technology. Why not just have a global surveillance system and spy on everyone in their own backyards? And you can't even go out on your own back porch and swim in your own pool without being surveilled by government satellites. I mean, that's what it's going to come to.
Well, you're absolutely right. I look at, well, I'll tell you another thing that's going on, too. I don't know if you're experiencing this, but I am getting hit with unbelievable allegations out of nowhere that I'm a disinfo agent for the deep state. Are you getting anything like that?
Not that I'm aware of, but from time to time, everybody gets hit with that kind of stuff. I guess it's just your turn.
Yeah, this person named Jennifer Hammonds is some bimbo I've never heard of, is coming out and saying, you know, Mike, you know my history. This is kind of interesting. I was a college basketball coach. I taught college psychology. I got into this because John McCain tried to steal my land and that of my neighbors, and I ended up, because of my public appearances, getting a radio show, and the rest is history. And that's so well documented. And yet I'm getting hit with these assaults on my website that are saying I'm a member of these sex orgy clubs. I just wonder if you're experiencing things like this. I'm under full spectrum attack right now. It's unbelievable.
Hey, no, it just means you're probably being effective. You've come up on their radar. You're on their list. They've assigned some people to harass you. That's the way it works. You know, they got a pool of people. They got a pool of money, and they harass those who are being effective. You know, like Alex Jones is being constantly sued and harassed, you know, every day. I've got, like, Monsanto has a whole team dedicated to just doing character assassination against me personally, well, along with the food babe, the two of us. So you've got a team now targeting you, but, you know, informed people know that most of those individuals running around the internet who claim that other people are disinfo agents are themselves disinfo agents. I mean, it's a classic deep state tactic to wade into the fray and then start pointing fingers at the people who are being the most effective at, you know, exposing all this stuff. So I wouldn't worry about it. I wouldn't give it much attention, frankly.
It's new for me. I've had people tell me I'm full of crap. That goes with the territory. But I've never really been accused of playing for the other side because my background is so well known. It's so well publicized.
And, well, just remember that these accusations coming against you will come from anonymous sources or fake identity sources. That's the thing. There won't be any real people behind them.
Yeah, it's just mind-boggling. You know, it doesn't, on an emotional standpoint, pride standpoint, there's nothing there for me to latch onto. I could care less. It's just, I find it so incredulous. There are so many other ways to attack people like you and I. But when I look at what's going on now, we've got over 40 congressmen on the Republican Party who are not running for re-election. Do you think they know something? Do you think they're looking at Mexico and say, hey, I don't want to end up being a statistic, you know, MS-13, that kind of thing? Is this why they're getting out?
I think it's a combination. Yeah, it's a great question. Some of them are being threatened, no doubt. Others are retiring from their their influential positions in certain committees and so on. Some don't want to be part of the civil war that's coming. I think some of them see that this country is ripping itself apart, you know, really by design. There are elements like George Soros who are doing this on purpose. It's probably Soros people, by the way, that are targeting you, come to think of it. I think they're behind the Gateway Pundit has been suffering massive DDoS attacks for about 5 days. And there are attacks I don't want to get into on certain other people, but a lot of it traces back to Soros groups, so that's just something to keep in mind. But to answer your question, I think there's a lot of, like right now, these events are sorting out those who have courage versus those who are just, you know, pathetic weakling rhinos. So the weaklings, a lot of weaklings are just quitting and getting out, and it's going to be a battle for America. And maybe, just maybe, we'll start to see some new people who actually have spines start running for office and going along with the Trump agenda here, which is to save this republic and destroy the deep state.
Well, there are 11 congressmen who have spines, as we're referencing the letter here. But yeah. I'll express the amazement one more time. How do you have 11 duly elected officials to our major lawmaking body, and they accuse high-ranking officials of felonies with documentation, and not one mainstream media outlet is covering it? Not one.
It just tells you how damning it is. Remember, when the CDC's own scientist, Dr. William Thompson, went public and confessed to his part in a research cover-up that had actually linked vaccines to autism, the CDC ordered every media company in America to blacklist that story, and they did. There was not a single story from the legacy media on that topic. So what you're talking about is just another example. If they don't want America to know about it, they just trash the story. They don't even cover it to put it down or attack it. They just pretend it never happened.
Well, I can understand that if it's you and me. But Congress?
Yeah, well, why not?
How do you sidestep a Congress? How do you got the major lawmaking body, and they're sidestepping Congress. That just blows my mind.
Yeah, but members of Congress don't have platforms like you and I. You know, think about this. You know, you have a bigger audience than Jim Jordan, right? I have a bigger audience than John McCain. All of us who have platforms, we are more influential in terms of reaching people than members of Congress. The media can silence a member of Congress by just refusing to cover it. They can't silence you or I. That's why they try to destroy your reputation, by the way. They can't silence you. All they can do is try to make people hate you. That's why. they can't, you know, they can't steal your platform or shut you down, so they have to just try to ruin your reputation. This is all the same pattern over and over again. You know, for members of Congress, all they have to do is just not cover the story.
In the letter, Hillary Clinton's, some of her crimes are highlighted. But what's interesting is one of her crimes, like Uranium One, is actually covered through the Page and Strzok.
Yeah.
And those allegations, I mean, they nail her sideways through these other people. And here's what I'm wondering. Comey would be damning enough if he turned state's evidence. Clinton would be downright destructing. I mean, she would destroy the deep state. You mentioned earlier if she survives that long. Let me tell you where my mind went. It wasn't death due to natural causes. It would be death due to airplane crashing, falling
right
down the stairs on one's head, or being found in a hotel swimming pool on the top floor.
Well, you're absolutely right, but I don't think that Hillary Clinton would ever, ever turn on the deep state. I think she would die first. I think that to her, her legacy is so important. She wants the world to remember her as this humanitarian, even when she's, you know, one of the world's worst criminals, you know, criminal mafia cartel leaders, frankly. But I don't think she would ever, I don't think she would ever testify against other deep state members or expose them. But if they believe she might, would they take her out? Of course. She's already had so many signs of you know, falling. You know, she's had neurological problems. She can't seem to walk down a flight of stairs without practically slipping. You know, for them to stage something for her to be eliminated, you know, they could pull that off pretty easily, and it would be quite believable. But there's a long ways to go before that becomes necessary in their minds, I believe. You know, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are sort of the last layer of this conspiracy. They're the hardest to get to. Before that, it's going to involve people like Peter Strzok and Lisa Page and Loretta Lynch, James Comey, Andrew McCabe, and perhaps even people like Eric Holder, who were part of the crimes committed by the Obama administration. But Obama himself might be, he might never be indicted. Whereas Hillary Clinton, there is convincing, irrefutable evidence of her criminal behavior. In fact, James Comey laid it out, you know, a year and a half ago. Or over a year and a half ago.
Yeah, until he, well, the one thing that they're going after Comey on is related to that very thing, that he compromised himself as an investigator. And I didn't realize that, but that's a felony. I know there's obstruction that could be attached to this, but I was reading through that letter, and I'm just thinking, Comey could spend the rest of his life in prison. And mm-hmm. Did you see what Comey came out and said on Friday? He said, yes, there is a deep state, and it's a good thing because we have people in government that won't blindly follow an ineffective president, meaning Trump.
This is what's so astonishing about Comey and these other people like Hillary Clinton. In committing incredible evil and breaking laws, committing felonies and treason, they think that they themselves are angelic, highly ethical. They think they're the saviors of society, and they think that you should look at them as saviors. You know, James Comey, it's almost like he's running for the position of God or something. And Hillary Clinton wanted to be a queen and a saint. You know, all these people, they don't believe in actual God or Jesus or Christianity. They think the state is your religion, and they want to run the state and be your God. I mean, it's very much like Kim Jong-un, if you think about it. They want you to worship them. James Comey is kind of like the American version of Kim Jong-un or Kim Jong-il, his father. Really. He's taller and not as squat. But, I mean, inside, it's the same attitude.
Mike, where are we at and where are we headed? Let me frame this a little more specifically. Has Trump been taken over by a coup, as evidenced by the Syrian false flag and his ridiculous response?
No. My opinion is no, and I'll tell you why. I think that Trump is... Let's say this. I think Trump is appeasing elements of the military-industrial complex who are on his side overall, but they have their needs, financial needs and power needs and so on. He's keeping them happy and getting their support for the big, big purge that's coming, which I believe will involve, at some point this year, mass arrests of many, many operators within the DNC, or the former DNC, the former Obama administration, and so on. I think there will be a day. And on that day, you know, the internet may be mysteriously down. The news networks may mysteriously not be able to report for a couple of days. And when everything comes back on, when the lights come back on, there's going to be, you know, 100 or more former Obama administration officials indicted and in handcuffs. And to pull that off, you need the support of the military. So you have to keep them happy. I mean, the Syrian false flag thing, no doubt in my mind that Assad did not use chemical weapons against those children. That was staged. I mean, Assad's not a saint by any means. He's a pretty evil person himself. But he's not stupid, right? He's actually very clever. He wouldn't gas his own population because it would invite this kind of response. So that was staged. And it was staged for this purpose. The military-industrial complex needs to be able to wage these wars and violate national sovereignty in foreign lands. And Trump is going along with them because there's something bigger at stake, which is, frankly, saving the Republic. That's my analysis.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right, but he sure looks compromised. Although I will say, his victories over the North Korean dictator speak to the fact that he has some measure of control. But you look at, let's back up to, let's show how he's so compromised with his own administration. Just a quick anecdote: Nikki Haley, her deputy ambassador Lerner, and who tried to go to work for Pence and Trump blocked him, is working in the UN under the authority of Trump, and he started the open borders for Zuckerberg. He started the Never Trumper movement. And he's being allowed to keep his job in the Trump administration. How in the hell does that happen?
The challenge is that Trump is being attacked from 1,000 different angles constantly, every day. And you can only fight off a few of them at a time. And he is cleaning house. He's slowly draining the swamp, you know, swapping out personnel, getting rid of traitors and so on. You'll notice, for example, there aren't that many leaks out of the White House anymore. Remember when he first got into office, there were leaks constantly right out of the White House. Well, that stopped months ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. But speaking of leaks, how did Pompeo get to North Korea? And nothing leaked. I found that. You see, if Pompeo is really on Trump's side, you know darn good and well that would have got leaked.
Pompeo, I think, is out for Pompeo. You know, that's a spooky guy right there, and you know he's got ties to Monsanto as well. That guy, I don't trust him at all. He might be useful for Trump in the short term, but you can't trust him in the long term. However, think about this. Who does Trump bring in that he can trust? You know, where do you find honest people near Washington, D.C. these days? Well, you can't find anybody. I mean, you know, Rand Paul is already a senator. He probably doesn't want to go work for the Trump administration, although he'd be ideal. You know, actually, Rand Paul would be an ideal president, as far as I'm concerned. But how many Rand Pauls are there? How many Jim Jordans are there? Not that many. It's a pretty short list of candidates, you see. People are so easily compromised.
Maybe he needs to reach into his own corporate structure. Maybe we would be better off without politicians that we wouldn't have to doubt their loyalties to the Republic.
See, now you've nailed it. The answer is always small government. The tyranny is in the size of the system. Almost no matter who's running it, big government is tyrannical. Big government will always want to grow bigger. It will always want more power. It will always take away more of your rights and liberties, and it will always confiscate more of your money in the long run. I mean, we got this little tax reform change with the GOP and Trump. That'll be reversed the minute there's a Democrat in the White House. You know, so it's just, it's short term. Big government is the danger. Absolutely.
What happens in the midterm elections now? We're looking at all these, you know, over three dozen congressmen not running for re-election. What's this going to mean for when they seat the new Congress next January?
Well, there's still a long time between now and the midterms, and as we already discussed, there are deep state elements that are going to try to strongly manipulate world events to change the outcome of that election. On Trump's side, if these mass arrests take place of you know, left-wing treasonous, traitorous operators like Loretta Lynch and so on, that could work strongly in favor of the Republicans in the midterms. On the other hand, if the Democrat deep state manages to pull off something else, such as, for example, I've mentioned this before on your show, setting off a nuclear bomb in Seattle and blaming North Korea and indirectly blaming Trump, saying that this is Trump's fault for angering Kim Jong-un, if that narrative is pushed by the media, and there are lots of dead people and lots of images of, you know, radiation sickness and so on, well, then the Democrats are going to sweep the elections. So it could go either way at this point. It's too far away to predict, but we'll know more around September for sure.
Well, what would you say to the listening audience right now? They're hearing you and they're saying, okay, Mike, I'm agreeing with almost everything you're saying here. What can we do to stop this tyrannical coup of our government?
You know, I ask myself that question every day, and to some extent, my honest answer is, at this point, strap yourself in. It's going to be a ride. I think you need to, of course, practice personal preparedness, because those who survive what's coming are going to be the ones who create the future. And I think there's a lot of, I think there are going to be a lot of casualties if this breaks out into a civil war. Most of those casualties will be those who are not well prepared. So that's one thing. In terms of trying to save this country from the deep state, I honestly think Trump is just a temporary reprieve from the trend, which is a trend toward tyranny. And the only thing that saves us, frankly, is a massive collapse of this government system, either a financial collapse or solar flare EMP, you know, which would involve a lot of mass casualties, of course, mass starvation, and so on. None of these scenarios are pretty, by the way. I'm not saying that I want any of these things to happen. I'm just saying that unless something radical happens, we all end up living under absolute tyranny. Our First Amendment, Second Amendment, Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights will be stripped very quickly in the next 10 years. If, you know, just by the next Democrat in the White House, radical left-wing lunatic mobs will take to the streets, and they will go door to door, and they will execute Trump supporters and gun owners and Christians. That day is coming, and they already have the anger. They're being whipped up into a frenzy, just like we saw throughout history with Stalin and Castro and Mao and others. It's the same thing. History is repeating itself. The only big difference right now is we have Trump at the moment, and we have a Second Amendment. But let me ask you this, Dave. Do you think that if it comes to this, is the average American who loves their country and has a gun, are they willing to stand up and start using that in defense of their life and defense of their property and defense of their community? Or will they lay down their arms and get rolled over by the raging lunatic left-wing mobs?
I think the conservative right is going to take a major hit in the beginning. I think the left is going to practice extreme censorship to keep this out of the news so people will not become alarmed and say, hey, I've got nothing to lose. But eventually, all secrets come out, and there'll come a time when the conservative right will become just as violent out of defensive measures as will the left. Let me share with you what I've discussed this many times with someone who's ex-RSOF and high-ranking RSOF. He told me they've done all kinds of projections on this. He said in the current climate, and this came out during the part of Jade Helm 16 that was not publicized, but he said that their projections tell them that America will be like one great big Beirut. You'll be driving down the street, come to a stoplight, someone will identify you as a Christian or as a something they don't like, and you'll be attacked on the spot.
Yes,
I can absolutely see that coming. He said, going from office building to office building in the course of your workday, he said, could become an adventure because there'll be snipers. And he said they think it's going to be a big Beirut. And he said that these groups like Black Lives Matter and these other subversive George Soros-related groups will be the ones that'll perpetrate the violence on a local level against the public officials. It'll be what I mentioned before, the cartels plus their terrorist allies like MS-13.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the weaker the situation in terms of security for America, the more the drug cartels and the gangs from Mexico just flood in. They'll just come in waves because now then they have massive looting opportunities. You know, they can just go from community to community wiping them out. You know, who's going to stop them, right? I mean, California's not going to stop them. California rolled out the red carpet and say, come on in. Loot the white neighborhoods, please, because white people are bad. And here's where the Christian churches are. Go there. Loot them. And, you know, Governor Brown will be directing the gangs.
Well, you know, on Friday, April 20th, a lot came out about California. In fact, I did a broadcast piece on my channel for YouTube, which basically said fleeing California and escaping to America. And I highlighted a couple of things here. One of them was this House bill, and I don't have it in front of me, so I don't recall the number. I think it was 2944, but I could be wrong. But the bill basically said this. If you espouse traditional Christian beliefs, just in the matter of your normal public conversation with people, you are guilty of infringing on the sexual identity rights of others who believe there are 97 genders. It's a criminal offense. It's a criminal offense.
I saw that, and I saw how California wants to outlaw commercial transactions involving, you know, the Bible, for example. A bookstore would be criminalized for selling the Bible.
Yes.
It's unimaginable that we've come to this moment and that Governor Brown is still in power and not in prison. And yet, you know, we're in danger of all of America becoming like California if we don't stand up and defend our nation. And this is why I was asking you that question, because I have the same question. If the Second Amendment citizens of America, we know tactically, if they were to, when the time is necessary, stand up and defend their nation, they could easily do so because they outnumber everybody else. But will they? Or will they just roll over, lay down? Will they be intimidated into doing nothing? Will they be called, or will they be afraid to take action because they're afraid to be called a racist or a bigot or whatever, even if those terms are not appropriate for their actions? So that, you know, people just trying to defend their nation.
Well, I have another corollary to what you asked me. Will they defend themselves? And I think at some point they will, but there's a lot of moving pieces here, Mike, and I'll give you an example. Where is the military going to come down on this?
Yeah.
That will have a lot to do with people's ability to organize and self-defend.
I agree, and you've talked about this extensively. What about foreign invasion of the United States? Now, here, what's interesting about Syria is that Trump made a decision that establishes or confirms this precedent that had already pre-existed. He just confirmed it again, which is that if a country uses chemical weapons against its citizens, if we think they did, then we have the right to intervene and invade and bomb them. All right, so let's flip it around. What if there's a false flag of a chemical weapons attack on children in California, and the media says Trump did it? Well, then, all of a sudden, China and Russia and the United Nations say, well, we have the right to invade America. Look, they use chemical weapons on their children, and the precedent has been confirmed by none other than Trump. So we have to go in, and we have to get rid of the Second Amendment. They'll tie it to gun owners, of course. We the UN have to get rid of the Second Amendment to bring peace and prosperity to America and depose this evil thuggish president. You know, you can see the narrative like that being rolled out on CNN.
You're taking my breath away here because this is something that's near and dear to my heart. What do you think the odds of this are going to happen?
Higher than ever. Higher than ever, for sure. But it really depends on how quickly the Trump loyalists can arrest these black hat deep state operators over the next, 8 months.
And, that may not make any difference, Mike, and let me tell you why. I've been writing about this a lot on my website. It's called the Kigali Principles, K-I-G-A-L-I. Obama signed them in agreement with the UN and 28 other nation states before he left office. And it says, if the UN judges there to be a significant threat to civilian populations, they can come in with their member states to restore order militarily without permission. Now, I've been publishing this, and people have been writing to me, say, why doesn't Trump just do away with it? The horse is out of the barn. The UN is already saying it's irrevocable. They can do what they want. So I've looked at it this way. CalExit has actually, I'll back up and say it this way. Paul Preston has embedded sources that have been in the CalExit meetings with their organizers, and their criminal elements have been involved, like the cartels and so forth. They've been saying that if they can't exit the country the way they want, that they will perpetrate violence in public places against white people in mass. Well, that could be a preemptive move to bring in the UN.
And, you're right. You're absolutely right. Here's how Trump would respond. Remember when he signed the omnibus budget bill?
Mm-hmm.
Where did all the money go? To the Pentagon, right? It was all about massive military budgets. He's got the military on his side, and the military knows if they can keep Trump in power, he's going to keep giving them lots of money. Lots of money. I mean, hundreds of billions of dollars a year, right? The biggest military budget in the world by far. The military, all that has to happen is for Trump to declare an invasion of the United States is happening right now in California. It is an invasion of enemy combatants who are disguised as refugees or undocumented immigrants, but they are actually, I'm putting this as a theory, as something he could do. But they're actually, he might say, enemy combatants. We must invoke the military defense of this nation by activating the military to root out the enemy combatants. Now remember, Posse Comitatus is about the military not operating on U.S. soil, but primarily about the military not policing U.S. citizens. But under the right attorney general, which wouldn't be Sessions, it would have to be somebody else, Trump could argue that this is a military operation targeting enemy combatant invaders, not citizens, that U.S. soldiers operating in California to defend America could arrest and deport illegals, but would have no power over legal American citizens. So this is how I think the military could actually be deployed in California. And that's why I've always said that's where the Civil War begins, is in California.
Mike, I can't betray a confidence, obviously, but I can say this much, and it validates everything you just said. I've been told, and I can't get real specific, and I apologize, but I do think this will be coming out in short order, that Trump's people have already had conversations about replacing treasonous leaders in California, and to do exactly what you just said. I know these discussions have taken place. I'm not allowed to talk about the people or the groups involved, but this is on the table as we speak.
Yeah, that's fascinating to hear, because, of course, we didn't prearrange this conversation or any element of it. I have no doubt that to save America, the military is going to have to be dispatched to California. They're going to have to arrest Governor Brown, and they're going to have to arrest the mayor of Oakland, for example, and the sanctuary city mayors must be arrested. And the U.S. military actually has constitutional jurisdiction to defend the borders. And can a military element operate inside the U.S. border if they are pursuing enemy combatants? Yes, absolutely they can. So think about that.
Could not agree with you more. What, you know, let me conclude this for this evening. We're almost out of time, but I wanted to just get your take. Where are we at and what's coming?
Well, we're in for the most turmoil we've ever seen. Between now and the midterm elections, this is the high risk time. I mean, after the elections, things, the risk level goes down substantially because, you know, they're not trying to manipulate the elections. But this summer, I'm talking June through September, it's the highest risk that we've ever lived through of false flags, financial, you know, engineered financial crashes, engineered grid down failures, things to destroy, to try to destroy Trump, things to being engineered to blame Republicans, and so on. People could be killed in large numbers based on these events. Anything is happening. And I just, you know, in full disclosure, I don't want any of those things to happen. I hope they don't happen. But I've been researching this long enough to know how these people operate. They murder for power.
Well, they're following the communist playbook. There's no question.
No question.
And the history speaks. History speaks very clearly to what happens in their means to obtain power. And purges and then genocides go with the territory.
Right. And the weakness of GOP people and a lot of Republicans and just sort of mainstream people who are conservatives is they still think the other side is playing by the rules. And they're not. They regard no laws, no rules. They have no regard for human life. They can lie. They're most of them are sociopaths. They can lie so seamlessly. Like, look at Hillary Clinton. She's a master liar. Look at Obama. He's an expert in neuro-linguistic programming deception, you know, through language patterns in his speeches. They're in all of his speeches. These people are...
Okay, we're going to have to hold it here, folks, but you got the idea. The whole interview is going to play its entirety up on the website in the morning, along with the rest of the show, which was stunning and shocking. My thanks go out to Dr. Ted Brower, Dr. Paul Gozar, my congressman, Paul Martin, and, of course, Mike Adams, the health ranger. I just want to remind everybody about the conference that Steve Squail is sponsoring, the Legends Conference on Transhumanism in Branson, the banner for that. You can click right to the registration form. We'll be there. I'm going to be there covering it as a member of the media. I want to meet all of you, and that's in September, but it's two-thirds filled, so don't let the grass grow under your feet. Next week, we're lining up some great guests. We've already got Gary Haven, the producer of the movie Amerigeddon, and he's involved in a whole lot of stuff, too. Talks to Rand Paul, the governor of Texas. We're going to explore it all. We'll see you next week. Go out and have a great week. God bless.